call the roll. I'm present. Bishop O'Neill is out this evening, as is Mr. Heater. Mrs. Bales.
Present.
Mrs. Barnes Griffin.
Present.
Mr. Urban.
Present.
Mr. Lowe.
Present.
Okay. Would ask permission from the board by acclamation to go out of order for just a moment to hear a report from Dr. Kwiatkowski. Any objection to that?
No.
Okay.
None.
Dr. Kwiatkowski.
Great. Well, thank you. I wanted to share that last week we received some new guidance from the Indiana Department of Health. The new guidance has new recommendations regarding masks and quarantining for schools. Effective February 23rd, they say that they no longer recommend contact tracing and quarantining in schools. If a school is made aware of a positive case, we would still share the potential exposure with students and families. Schools are no longer needed to report any COVID-19 cases to the Indiana Department of Health. On a weekly basis, every Friday, we were sending numbers for all of our schools. They also say that we should continue to isolate positive individuals for at least 5 days per the CDC. When students would come back or staff after day 5, days 6 through 10, it would still be recommended that they would wear a mask if they were coming back after being positive. They also said we should continue to assist our local health departments with exposure notification. And a negative test or doctor's note is no longer required to return to school. Just like with other regular illnesses, we would want students or staff to be fever-free for 24 hours without the use of fever-reducing medication, and their symptoms would need to be improving. Now, you know that we've always gone more beyond the Department of Health. We appreciate their guidance, but we also reach out to our local health officials. So the local health department echoed these same recommendations. And then I had conversations through email with Dr. Bird and Dr. Voss, and then a conversation with Dr. Voss. And he shared that vaccination rates, along with the number of people who have tested positive or who have been exposed, are allowing things to open up. And he also mentioned if we look at activities, including large sporting events, we're not seeing the outbreaks that we saw in the past. He believes risk mitigation is less and less. The positivity rate has dramatically declined. And both Dr. Voss and Dr. Bird said that they could support the recommendations from the Department of Health. And so it's my recommendation for the board that we would be able to move away from the mask requirements and make it optional. If anybody wants to wear masks, they certainly may, but it would no longer be required, with the exception on the bus, because that is still a federal requirement.
Okay.
I would also like to ask, currently our volunteer policy, we have a vaccination requirement for all of our volunteers, and I would like to ask the board that we would remove that vaccination requirement for our volunteers.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Hearing no discussion, do I have a motion?
Okay. Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay. Effective date?
Effective tomorrow, February 23rd. And so Andy will get a message out to our families this evening.
Okay. I'm going to make it, for those of you in the crowd who don't wish to wear a mask, I'm going to make it effective now. So thank you. With that, Mr. Moore, are you feeling better?
I am. When I asked her, can I come back and do this at another time? I said, I don't think I have COVID, and I did not have COVID, but she said, Gary, there's still things called head colds. There's still things called the flu. And so I did have a minor case of the flu. So I'm glad to be back. I feel a lot better. And so I do thank you this evening. So I will just open up to our board members and to our MCS administration and to, of course, our stakeholders. I want to say, again, thank you. Longfellow is a great place to be. If you've not been there, please drop by. We have a lot of great things happening. I'd just like to give you some insight a little bit to what is going on at what I call the fellowship. And students there are just wonderful. We have just committed staff that I could not be more proud of. Daily, they give us everything we need, our kids need, and they give us support. So I thank them. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get started. I brought a couple things. I'm not one. I am one. Kind of like a lot of props. Sometimes it helps me explain things a little better. But I'll bring this key out here in a second. But I always, is it okay? It's hard for me. If you guys don't know me, I'm amped up all the time for no reason. I don't even know why. I'm excited. I love.
You need to move around?
Can I come around?
Yes.
I can't help. Yes. The kids always say, Mr. Boyer, you're just full of energy. And I am.
Go wherever you want to go.
All right. Thank you. So in the beginning, we always start out with a vision statement, and I want to ensure that everybody understands that because this is a very important piece to what we do daily at Longfellow. And I'll read this, I always do. If you can see the door, I'll talk about it in a second. But in their pursuit, and when I say there, that means our students at Longfellow. In their pursuit of wisdom, the students of Longfellow Elementary School discover something of value in themselves and return it to society. Our school will provide a safe, aesthetically pleasing, functional environment conducive to learning and development of self-esteem. That's sort of a different type of vision, but our vision is we want to develop the whole child. Every way we do, every possible way we can, we want to ensure that they understand that they are valued. So when they leave Longfellow, they can make great decisions, good decisions. So I talked to the staff at the beginning of the year, and I said, guys, let's do something different. I said, you know, we all have a door to our homes. We have doors to cars. And I said, the only way we can get in is to be able to unlock those doors with keys. So I said, I really want us to think about how we can unlock doors for our students. And so in the beginning of the year, we all stood, got gathered in the circle, and I had this key passed around, and all of our staff signed it, their initials, because we wanted to ensure that they understood every day we have an opportunity to unlock doors to students' lives and help them see for themselves who they can be, who they are, and what they're about. So daily we do that. And so moving on to this one, before we play it, I do want to talk about an affirmation. And one of the terms, I looked at, and I'm sure everybody knows what an affirmation is, but I like this term, and it came from dictionary.com. is the act of confirming something to be true or is written or oral statement confirms something to be true. So these are our kids every day. These are our kids. I have a little Martin Luther King picture here. Not little, but it's a big one. These are Martin Luther King winners. They are the Citizenship Award winners. And so I've asked them to come and say our daily affirmation. If we can play that so you guys can hear from them.
What is our affirmation here at Longfellow Elementary School? You absolutely can. Thank you so much, Longfellow students. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. So they say this from kindergarten all the way to fifth grade. Every day they hear it. And every day I ask them, and they'll know before they come to my office, Mr. Moore, can I say the affirmation? I say, you're going to say it over the announcement. So every day we start our day with that affirmation, helping them again to understand who they are. I tell them all the time, you are smart. You are excellent, and you can and you will do anything. And so they know it, they say it, I'll say it in the cafeteria. Somebody give us an affirmation. I am smart, I am excellent, I can do anything. So when you come to the school, ask the student in Longfellow, what's your affirmation? They'll simply tell you, I'm smart, I'm excellent, and I can do anything. So we hold that to be true in everything we do. So we say that daily right before the announcements. Move on. Quality of instruction. I've told the staff, I don't speak French too much, but sometimes I utilize different languages, and I say oui, oui, and it means yes, yes. Really didn't work out that way, but Q-O-I, which is really oui, Q-U-I, but, you know, kind of trying to put some things together. But with our staff, I talk to them daily about, yes, we can. Yes, we can do this. Yes, it's going to happen. What about the quality of instruction? Because one of the things that I have learned, and this is my seventh year at Longfellow, is trying to really hone in on our quality of instruction, ensuring that we are giving the best. It's not about how much we're giving, but the quality of it, so kids are understanding what they've been taught, what they're learning, and then at the end of the day, what they are mastering and what they're proficient in. So we do that through these, I have them outlined here with our professional learning communities. You guys have heard this, that we've been doing this, working with NIET and some other people who are helping us to become better instructional leaders. I'm going to go through this here in a second. We'll go back just one time. I'm sorry. Reading block. I'm going to talk about the guided reading. This is something new that we have been working on, and I think as I talk about this, the more that I think about it, the more that we're doing it, the more I think it is working. That's our math block. We talk about power standards, clarifying examples. I'll give you a little bit more insight to that, and then, of course, you'll see our student growth. And then every Friday, I do a time test with students, the whole school. So I get on the announcements. You got 3 minutes. They have 100 problems, and they can be anywhere from addition to subtraction to multiplication to division to even fractions. But they get 100 facts every Friday, and we have a fact wall. And the kids said, I want my name on the fact wall, Mr. Moore. I said, we've got to put your time in. And even in my Sunday messages, I leave the parents over the facts with the children. That's an opportunity really to engage with them, even in simple things as just starting multiplication facts. So we do that every week. And believe it or not, kids are getting on the wall. Because at first, they were like, 100 problems is too many problems for 3 minutes. I said, watch you get there. Watch what happens. And they are. Many of them are getting there, and they're excited. So we do that every Friday. We can move on. So I was talking to you about our PLCs, our professional learning communities, and we meet weekly with our master teacher, myself, and teachers. And we go over strategies. We go over data. We are becoming we are a data-driven school. We're making sure that we're paying attention to what is being taught, how it's being taught, and how it's being learned, and if kids are retaining information. So every week we do this, and Faith Surf, if you have not met her, she's an incredible master teacher. We're very fortunate to have her, but she works very, very hard, and she is understanding to all of this. She puts a lot of this stuff together. And, of course, these are 2 fourth grade teachers there. Like I said, we meet weekly with all of our teachers. We can move on. Guided reading. One thing Fontes Pinnell has allowed us to do, which I love about Fontes Pinnell, one of the components is the guided reading. Guided reading has taken the learning, especially when it comes to reading, from whole group to small group, really to individualized learning. And so they have just fit books for students who may be in third grade or maybe reading at a first grade level. They don't want to be embarrassed by their fellow classmates. So there's books that look just like the other ones that they're reading. But again, it's just for them, and they continue to improve. We love this part of Fontes and Pinnell, so we're thankful for that. And this is one of my fifth grade teachers in the fifth grade class. You can see the kids gathered around, but they are engaged. Each time I walk into the classroom, they are involved, and they want to hear, Mr. Moore, can you listen to me read? And I'm like, oh, yes, absolutely. And they do a phenomenal job, all of them, because, again, it's at their level. They don't feel embarrassed, and it's a wonderful thing. We can move on to the next slide. Guided math is something that, we've been doing Fontes Pinnell for a couple of years now, and guided reading has worked. We see it. The kids love it. The teachers love it. I said, you know what? What about if we did something similar in math? And so the teachers gravitated to that, and I'll introduce you to one of our wonderful rising star teachers. Her name is Jimmy Brimberry. She found something for us called guided math. And she said, Mr. Moore, can I try it out? I just want to pilot this. And I said, sure, let's see how it works. And let's see what's going on. And so basically it's the same concept as guided reading. They're small groups. And as you see here, there's 4 different groups that many teachers have. And this goes through the groupings as they are with when you see with me, that means it's with the teacher. Fact fluency, again, there's a station that they're at, and they go over their facts, and they're making sure that they understand those particular facts. Maintenance piece is what has been previously taught, and then they have a little workshop on going over that again. And again, that's at an individual station. And then I-ready assigned, that's something that the teacher says, hey, you know, we do a little brush up on these skills, so they assign lessons from I-ready. And then at the end, with this particular group, they meet with her, with the teacher. And all groups get to meet with the teacher, and they love it. They are at the table. We go to the next slide. I'll show you kind of what she said. She says, this is Jamie's Corner, and we've got to put this together, but she's one of our fourth grade teachers. And she says, well, I love this structure. My students love it. They value getting scheduled time to meet with me where I will watch them work, correct when needed, and meet them where they are and help them to move forward. My students are growing grit and perseverance with problem solving. I am seeing attitudes towards math change, and students are able to experience small victories at my small group table. I lose very little instructional time as students are not waiting for me to help with them with an assignment. Honestly, much less planning time once we have settled into our routine. I have less time spent in front of my entire class, so I don't have to come up with creative ways to keep their attention. I am also teaching modified, listen to this, differentiated versions, the same small group lesson for each group, which helps with planning. So you can see these kids, again, it's at their level that they're learning. And they are so excited. We had one young lady just couldn't, I mean, she just, it was an aha moment for her. And I seen it when it happened. She was at the table. She said, Mr. Moore, I know what a mixed fraction is. I said, you tell me what that is. And she explained it. And this is a young lady with a learning disability. But because the small group guided this opportunity she has with the teacher's able to, at that moment, help guide her through that learning process. So we're looking at this. We're collecting data on it. And we love it. Our teachers are just now, the rest of our school is now implementing it. But again, we enjoy it. And again, it's called guided math. We can move on to the next one. Power standards. So what we are doing, as you guys know, we're gearing up for iLearn. iLearn is one of those things where every year I'm like, what can we do to help our students be ready for this assessment that everyone has to take? So along with Melissa Blossom, who was our representative for NIET, she's helped us with these power standards, and we've created a calendar every week that teachers come in, and they have, these are different standards each month, what we call our power standards. And we pull those, we look at those, and that's where we begin to develop our teaching. And so it's no longer taking a guess at, I hope we get this, maybe we'll learn this, this is too much. No, we hone in on what we think, what we feel like, and what we know is going to be on the test. And not that we're teaching to the test, but we're giving opportunity to kids to be prepared for the test. So we do this a couple teachers come in, and this is in Ms. Serf's office. It's up on the wall, and they can come in. And they come in every week, and we look at these so they can start developing what we call clarifying examples. And we'll move to that next. In your packet, I gave you just, if you wanted to follow me or look at, because I have to explain this a little bit. Clarifying examples are pre and post tests that we give. They're the same test, pre-test over the standard that they are going to teach, and then post-test after the standard that has been taught. So what I did was, just real quick so you can understand it, we just kind of started this, really started honing in on this in November, and we're starting to get, and we do this weekly as well, we're starting to get all of the information that we need from teachers as they have taught. So if you look at, and I highlighted in that particular one that I gave you, it's in yellow. I wanted you to pay attention to first grade. And this is how I know this is working. So if you look at the pretest, this is in January, for Ms. Cabot, first grade teacher, one of our first grade teachers, none of the kids, and we told teachers, don't worry if they get all of them wrong. Don't worry if they get a poor scoring. It's not about what they know at that moment. It's about what they know after you've taught the standard. Because we're just trying to get some baseline data. And so if you can follow along with me, our pretest, kids 0% got this standard G4, 0.6, they got the standard NS 0.1. Watch this. So after she taught the standard, I think that's 98%. And then 46% were able to get that. So she'll go back and reteach those who didn't truly get it. But at the same time, you can tell, you can see, okay, what she's teaching has been learned. What she's teaching and what she has taught has been retained. And kids are able to, we're able to track this because it'll tell us, it'll drive us, but do we need to go back and reteach this? Do we need to have this in one of our stations? What do we need to do with the information we're getting? And so this is pretty much true for all of them. We have all our grades on here. I just highlighted those particular ones just to help you understand how to follow how we are tracking clarifying examples. And again, that's pre and post test, same exact test. So the kids are not being stumped. It's not anything that we're trying to, get stumped and mess kids up. It's an opportunity, like I said, for them to understand too, and teachers, is my teaching work? And according to this, it is. We can move on to the next slide. This is what I really like. Okay, so the next, if you don't mind, turn with me to diagnostic results. Am I ready? I have four sheets of paper in there. One, the first two are our reading, and the last two is our math. So, as you know, the pandemic has caused learning loss. We're still catching up in that sense. We're still working on improving how do we get our kids caught up. So when you see the red, that means the kids are two grade levels behind. So when we first started, and I'm going to give you just a real quick overview, 47% of our school was at risk, 47%. And this is, I tell teachers this is where we are, being honest. And so tier two, those are kids who are one grade level behind. They were at 42%, and we only had 11% who were either approaching grade level or on grade level in the beginning of the year. And this isn't reading, this is the whole school. Turn the page over to winter, and the improvement you can see. 31% now is red, 45% is yellow, and we have improved 24% for kids being on grade level. And then it breaks it down by grade level too at the bottom of this sheet. So again, we see growth. It's not all the time the growth that we would like to really see at times, but at the same time, I always tell just like I tell students, you're growing, you're learning. And so we feel good about that because sometimes we get thought about, well, how come it's not all green? Well, that's okay, but we had a lot of issues. So I tell kids all the time, you are growing. So let's look at the math, same thing. If you look at our math scores, we were 46% in the beginning at risk, 49% were in tier two, only 4% were in green at tier one. Move forward to when we tested in the winter, we have lessened that number at the at-risk level for 31%, tier two 56%, and then tier one 13%. So again, we are growing. Again, at the bottom, you can see how each class is growing. So I tell students all the time, and I tell our staff, we're growing, and that's the main thing. That's what we do, and that's what we want to see, growth.
So, Mr. Moore, let me ask you a question about reading again. So at the beginning of the year, two tiers behind were 47%. That's down to 31. Is that correct?
Yes.
The next was one grade level behind, 42% at the beginning, now 45%. So I assume is coming to that grouping is the grouping that was two grades behind is falling into that grouping.
And then two
leaps. And 11% is now 25% on grade level, and this is school wide.
Yes.
Could we, and maybe we can.
There you go.
Okay.
I
have my chart is way too small.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm trying. This chart right here, this is just side by side. I'm like, there's no way you guys will be able to see this. So I wanted to kind of highlight these things just to showcase the growth that is occurring. And so, and I say this to the students all the time. You want to make sure we're growing. And it's like, so that's the daily thing we do with us.
So will there be another round of assessments?
Yes, there will be. So that was at the beginning of the year, that's the middle of the year, and then we'll see the end of the year.
We take three I-ready tests. We take it in the fall, we take it in the winter, and we'll do another in the spring. So we will see more growth.
Okay.
So I'm really excited to see at the end where we are from the beginning of the year to the end of the year.
And have you seen this type of growth over the years? Not just this past?
I have. You know, we've had some good growth last year, but I think what's unique about this year, and this is before we even really got into some of our guided math, and I'm really excited about what that's going to translate into. But, we do see growth, especially with what we have gone through last year with a lot of kids being out and coming back. Like I said, I expect to see more growth But I have seen, and I think we've grown more this year than we have in the years past, but to answer your question. But we've had growth in the past, but I'm excited about where we are now because of some of the things, unique things that we're doing to show more growth.
Is there a way we could, the MP3 students, is there a way to have those broken out so we could see where those folks
are? Yes, would you like to do that?
Yeah, I'd like to see that as well.
So that's not a problem. I'd like to know that.
Does this get shared with the middle schools? I'm only asking, looking at this fifth grade data, does this follow them so they have this baseline when they go to sixth grade?
It's good stuff. The growth that you're seeing from fall through winter, like what's the parent engagement or the home, you know, what's that, what do they play?
Well, we send a report on the parents each and every time we have these tests. We try to explain results, and we just let them know, too, what's going on with their students. So we'll send a report home, and then also teachers have little small reports they do in the classroom that they send home with that I-written lessons that they do in the classroom, so they send that home as well. But these major reports, these major assessments like this, parents do get that information.
Do they engage in the learning process with, or are there schools or
This is in the classroom work. We are still working on finding other ways to engage our families. Unfortunately, like I said, we've not had, and Longfellow's unique, and I've been in this day of talk work, our family nights. And that was an opportunity, really, when we were able to sit down with families and talk to our families and our parents, and really engage in the lessons. So we're hoping to bring those back, maybe with the mask mandate going to the side, I hope to anyway, because that's something that Longfellow has always, utilized as a means to bring schools and families and home together. So, but we still have opportunities. There's times where parents, like teachers have virtual meetings with parents to go over certain things, certain homework, certain things that they may be confused about. But I'm hoping our family nights will be able to create that opportunity.
Gary, I would suggest, like Mrs. Dollison would be very interested to see how every teacher knows exactly how each student is doing in the different areas, because I know she's so worried to make sure that kids are getting what they need. So I'd recommend that you even bring a group from the community in and give them a little bit of an understanding of iReady, and okay. I'm sure they would be very excited to know that.
That's a great idea. Yes, Ms. Dollison and Mrs. Dollison. Huge. They are huge supporters of Longfellow, so that's a great idea.
And when you do that, Jerry, if you wouldn't, Gary wouldn't mind letting me know.
Sure.
I'm happy to come to that.
Sure. No problem. Yes, Pathways, which are thank you, Beth Bill. Our pathways are individualized lessons from iReady that is unique to where the student is. So again, if you talk about parent engagement, they can take those when they take their devices home. And a lot of times we assign homework in that matter to say, okay, how can we engage some other learning with students and make sure that they're getting information where they are? So that goes home, and pathways, like I said, it adapts to where the student is. So it's one of those things where that is another unique thing with iReady that all of our teachers love that, like, because it differentiates the lessons and it speaks to where the kiddos are, where the students are, and it's not just a situation where they're just teaching a standard to everybody. It's saying, Sally may be right here, Joe may be right here, and Greg may be right here, but at the same time, all of them have an opportunity to learn and be engaged. So that's what it's saying, Dr. Bill. All right. I'm sorry, I get excited about the growth. That's one thing I love. I love growth. It feels good to grow, and that's what I tell students all the time. It's like they grow. I said, when you measure yourself on your door, don't it feel good to grow an inch every year or something, or 2 inches? They're like, yes, Mr. Boris, I'm growing. So let's keep that up academically. So right here with iReady Grow, we have what we call reading rock stars and math masters. And this is for every grade level we have across in the school. We have these up in the hallways, and this is where kids have made growth in iReady. And if they've made substantial growth, their name gets on a roll for reading, as well as if they make substantial growth in math, they get their name on the board for math. And so 95% of our students made growth from fall and winter. 95%, and we feel good about that. We wish we had 100%, but we're striving for that. But I always tell the students, you know what? We're going to do this together for the 5% who didn't make it. We're going to get you there. But we are very, very proud of our students and our teachers. And like I said, the kids have done a lot of the work with teachers, but they get their name on the wall, and they want to see it. They want to see, Mr. Moore, is my name on the wall? Absolutely, I've seen your name on the wall. You're wonderful. You are smart. You can do anything. Here you are. So this actually too confirms and affirms again what our affirmations are. We can move on to the second one, the last one. So to sum everything up, and I know I took a little time, and thank you for your questions. Again, it's about unlocking doors for our students. You know, I think I told you this story last year. The fifth grade teacher changed my life. She said, you're somebody. You can be somebody. I said, I can. She said, sure you are. You're a superstar. And I didn't know that until she told me that. So I tell our students all the time, you are somebody. You are valued every day. And so they know that. And I don't let any of them talk down to them about bad about themselves because, again, it's about development of children. And it's not just about ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. It's about the whole child. And that's what we're about at Longfellow. So thank you for your time. You hit that little thing, it grows a little bit. It's about growth. Growth for us. There's a little tree that sprang up out of here. Guess I don't know what happened. That's all right. Just know it is there. But we do appreciate your time and thank you. If you have any other questions, please feel free to email me. Feel free to drop by Longfellow. We'd love to see you in that. Thank you so much.
So I would just say last week I was over there and I just the energy in the building. So I came to watch basketball, UWA and Longfellow, but just the parents and their engagement was amazing. But even to see MP3 happening, they were doing their thing, you got Huffer, and to hear your staff and see the folks and just how much of a community it is over there. Mm-hmm. To be able to see the work on the walls, it was really, really, I just want to say thank you for your support. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Moore, I've stopped by several times, and you and I have visited, and I've observed, you know, there was one student coming in one day, and he was very upset. And I just saw you calm him so quickly, just with your voice. And we'll talk about this in a minute, but right now I need for you just to calm down. And I just want to tell you, you know, I need you. I needed you with my kids at any number of opportunities. But I want to applaud what you're doing. Now, what do you need? I mean, from the board, what's not going well? What do you, you know, I know absenteeism is an issue. I mean, it's been an issue for 2 years at schools across the nation. Muncie's no different. And you may not, you know, have something specific to ask for, but, you know, what do you need to make an impact on your students that you're not getting?
First, if we can't get our families back in the building, that would be something for us that would be, and I know we may not have control over that, you know, I don't know how much control we have over that, but that'll be something that, you know, I told them, you know, I told the staff that I would ask about that because, you know, that's something that we're missing. And that's a major thing that Longfellow always has been and will continue to be.
So be ready for that.
That would be the first.
We were doing it by grade levels or a couple grade levels, so we're starting up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And I know, like I said, that may be that's out of our control to a degree.
No, I mean, I think we can start down that path. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. What else?
You know, just support. I don't have anything particular off the top of my mind. I can't think of too many things. Just continue support. And, you know, opportunity for you guys when you get to come by, just, you know, stop in the classrooms and let teachers know you're there and they're working hard. And, you know, this is a hard time for teachers. And, you know, I tell them daily, you know, this afternoon, we had a health and wellness, we had a PD over that. And I told them, you know, it's very important for us to take care of ourselves. We do so much for our children, and they just, I mean, I'm just flabbergasted at times or even dumbfounded at the fact that our teachers just come and they listen, all right, wait, Mr. Moore, let's go. Here we go again. I'm like, guys, you do it every day. So when you get a chance, thank them. Thank you. They do a great job.
Well, I have to say, if you go to Longfellow, stop by their preschool classroom. If my grandkids were in Muncie, I would put them in Gary's preschool classroom. It is amazing. I love going in there. So, thank wonderful place.
Miss Surf, we have Miss Surf. We have two ladies, Miss Surf and Miss Surf. They're phenomenal.
Yeah, they are.
Phenomenal. And we're just thankful for that program as well. So, a lot of good things happen. Every day I go in there, if I'm not feeling well, the kids make me feel great day. They are amazing. And so, again, please stop by just to say hello. The kids would love to see you.
Other questions for Mr. Moore?
No, but I just love the T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. I
look at that.
I'm going to show y'all real fast. You got on mine. But I got every teacher has this.
That's great.
So we have this, and every Friday we wear it.
I love it. That's great.
And I tell them, we're keyed up for that. The kids are like, Mr. Moore, we're keyed up. I'm like, you know it for success. Let's do it.
That's good.
And so we wear this every Friday. Our teachers do. But every teacher has a shirt. Staff member has a shirt. And so I kind of wore today just to let you guys know we're keyed up for success. Yeah.
Well, if I didn't know you were going to wear that jacket, I'd have worn my purple one like that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you again. We have now Dr. Kwiatkowski. Mm-hmm.
So I'll add a couple more updates. Gary just mentioned that today the teachers had a professional development from Ball State University Healthy Lifestyle Center. So Jim and I were at a meeting where we heard all that they had to offer at a no cost for our teachers. So for both mental health, physical health, and today they met with elementary and middle school, and then we'll get our high school and MAC. They'll have a time to learn more about it. So again, another way we're grateful for the partnership with Ball State University. Yesterday on our website, we were able to finally put out the report that Church, Churchill, and Antrim put together regarding the student poster incident that took place in November. If you go to our website, you can click on the news. And under the news about the MCS statement, we have responded to the recommendations that were made in the report. And so the recommendations are a little lengthy, but I think it's important that I read what we are committed to do regarding this incident. And so to begin with, already the changes that are in place, we hold regular listening centers with students facilitated by professors and Ball State's Peace and Conflict Studies program. We have a new security team that's in place. I think we have one of those security members in the audience tonight, so I'm grateful for the team. The high school staff is coordinating communication for the concerns of all students with the student advisory group, so they are addressed in timely and appropriate ways. We have Julie Snyder, who's here, who is the leader of that community or the student advisory group. Every week they meet, and I appreciate she and Steve Spradlin with working on that feedback loop for that group. A new mental health resource guide has been created and distributed to students, and I appreciate Chuck's leadership with putting that together and working with folks. Not only did we do that at the high school, then we created one for each of the middle schools and then also the elementary schools. It's on our website. And so there are many different resources either in school or outside of school that people can go to. Our Director of Diversity, Rhonda Ward, I see Rhonda in the audience. She continues to provide support to students' concerns through the Diversity Cats program. So after she hears concerns, she works closely with Principal Walker, and they continue brainstorming ways to improve the school. Administrative walkthroughs have increased to provide any immediate support needed by students, faculty or staff. Teachers are again submitting lesson plans for review. An ideas and concerns form has been added to our Muncie Community Schools website for students and others to submit new ideas or concerns of any nature. And we've already received several of those and have been able to address some of the concerns. And I loved one student's idea. She believes we should have puppies in every classroom and life would be good. I don't think we can really go that far, but wouldn't it be nice? Among the changes still to come, development of a written policy in regard to displaying student work in a manner to develop critical thinking skills without resulting disruptions to the educational mission or threats to the safety of Muncie Community Schools students, faculty, staff, or administrators. A mental health professional will be added at Muncie Community High School, Muncie Central High School, through our partnership with Meridian Health Services beginning in March. We already have a mental health therapist that's at Southside through the clinic, and so now we're excited to be able to add that at Central. Ongoing professional development for teachers to ensure lessons are related to instructional goals. A review of expectations for school security officers while providing continued training and professional development. Ongoing training for all staff on implicit bias and culturally responsive practices. A review of the faculty handbook to ensure it clearly communicates expectations for staff. A review of the student handbook by a committee of teachers, counselors, and administrators led by Associate Superintendent Chuck Reynolds to ensure behavioral expectations and consequences are clearly stated. That work is already going on right now, and that will come to the board before the school year, sometime in April. A review and implementation of processes to ensure the disciplinary and behavioral issues are addressed equitably and consistently, and that resulting discipline is proportionate. The student posters at the heart of this assignment will remain displayed in the classroom as an alternative forum. And to review the entire report, you can go to our response to the recommendations, and there's a link for you to review the report. I'd like to thank Church, Hiddle, and Antrim for doing a very thorough job with the report. And with that, I'll open it up for the board if anyone has any comments.
Any questions or concerns or comments from the board?
No, I think it's been explained. I just think it's explained as we spent time kind of looking through it.
And again, all of this information is on our website now.
It is on our website, yes.
Okay, and take a motion to accept the report and to implement the recommendations as outlined.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, we will, administration would move forward with implementing the remaining recommendations and continuing to work through those that have already been implemented and ongoing. Is there anything, any additional questions for Dr. Kwiatkowski?
I guess there would be one last one. This is not a static process. This is a dynamic process. So
that's
we're always
correct.
Looking to improve this process. That's
correct.
Okay. We'll learn something and we'll improve it.
We believe in continuous improvement and always want to improve and become better.
Good.
Okay. With that, we will move to public comments. I see mask mandate, assuming that you're not going to ask for masks to come back.
You never know.
Is there anything additional, Mr. Arnold?
Yes, sir.
So I just want to clarify, the masks are optional for the students now, and when was the effective date?
Tomorrow.
Wonderful. And before I start, I was just almost wish I was young enough to go back to school because I'd really love to go to Mr. Moore's school.
We all would.
But also kind of way to steal a person's thunder because I was here to speak about mask mandates, and So I had to, you took the mayonnaise off, and I had to follow Mr. Moore, so that's kind of a tough start.
Well, I
will. It leaves me with one.
I'm not going to count this time against you, but if you want to go work in Mr. Moore's school, we could use your help.
Well, I'm retired, so I'll take that under consideration. I just have one brief comment, because most of it I don't need to say, but the great statesman Winston Churchill once declared that you can always count on the Americans to do the right thing after they have exhausted all the other possibilities. And a one-size-fits-all mask or protocols for wearing for treating COVID-19 proves his point. But since you removed the mask, I just basically, I'm glad that you've tried everything else, and now maybe the science has changed, but I'm glad to see that you moved the mask, so I applaud you for that, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. So, since you quoted Churchill, I'm going to tell you my favorite Churchill story. He was seated next to Lady Astor.
I've heard that one, I think.
Don't know if this is true or not true, but it's come to me this way that... She said, "Winston, you're being such a stinker. If I were your wife, I would poison your soup." And he looked at Lady Astor and he said, "Madam, if you were my wife, I would eat it."
you can always count on Winston Churchill for a good one.
So we'll leave it with that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hyatt, do you have anything? We appreciate it.
Hi, Hansi.
And by the way, we'd welcome you to volunteer too at any of our schools. I don't want to live.
I'm not retired, so. Okay. As you can see, how I'm dressed, I've been crawling around and working. Mr. Klotz is not here, is he?
Yes, he is.
He is. Okay, so I can withdraw that FOIA request. That has to do with
thank you.
Enough? Do you need to hear from me, or you need something more? Okay, thank you. And I guess I was looking at the board membership because I catch wind through the media that we have some appointments possibly coming up, and they're taking some applications through the city and the city council. And to be honest with you, I know that Ball State gave me the layout. I don't know who that amounts to as far as the city appointments are concerned, whether those particular individuals are throwing their hat back in the ring with Tasha. Is that what, are you one of the appointments?
I am.
Are you going to re-up?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
All right. So at any rate, we hope that those watching realize that those appointments are coming up, and hopefully some good qualified people will throw their hat in the ring. And that's about all I got to say at the moment.
Thank you, Mr. Hyatt. Ms. Duke, do you want to go back to mask? Okay.
I'll be brief. I did not recognize you, Mr. Williams. I mean, because I've always seen you just with your mask.
And, remarkably handsome, right?
Oh, much more without the mask, for sure. Yes.
Thank you.
But I would have only recognized you from your stature. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you look completely different. I think you'll be relieved I won't say my 2.5 minutes.
I understand. I appreciate. Listen, let me say to the three of you and anybody else, it's not like I sat here loving this. I don't. None of us do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we differed, but that doesn't mean I sat here and went home and thought I've got to get a voodoo doll and get angry. No.
That's good to know.
Yeah. We had different approaches to mm-hmm. a problem like 50%. I mean, what has happened in this room is emblematic of what has happened in the rest of the country. And pandemics, going back to the great influenza of 1919, are inherently political. They tend to be divisive, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And anxiety drives some of that, fears of loss of freedom, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I get all those things. So don't feel for an instant like I'm sitting here going, oh, my God, here comes Ms. Duke and going to give me 3 minutes of...
Well, I have to admit, you know, that's... sort of where I was coming from.
I understand. I understand.
But, no, you've made a lot of people happy today. I know that for a fact. I communicate with lots of people. So, and I know you didn't do it for all those people. I know you did it for your own reasons, but I just wanted to make it known that, you know, a lot of people are very happy. I do still want to present, if it's okay, a FOIA request.
We love them.
Yeah. Who do I give that to?
Andy back there.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's all I have.
And by the way, I can assure you, because I've already received a couple of emails, we also upset people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's... Okay. Thank you all. Okay. With that, we are on to the consent agenda. We have a number of items. Ms. Snyder, you have a field trip that you'd like to talk about. Do you want to come on up and let us hear about that?
All right, I have an updated student list. That's what I thought I would bring, because since I sent that, I think at least two, maybe three more additions to that. And the other thing I want to talk about before I get into the trip is, since Susan hasn't been there, our financial secretary, I had no idea that these didn't get sent over, so I have some donation forms. But I wanted to mention that in just a weekend and maybe a few days after that, we collected $2,800 just by me, like, kind of pleading with some people that I had several students that wanted to go and they couldn't afford it. So $28 later, we were able to, between like the fundraising money I had still from last year and the year before, at least 12 students. Seven we completely paid for their trip, and five partial help. So that's pretty awesome. That's the biggest trip we've had so far, 34 people going. So three adults and then 31 kids. So definitely the biggest trip so far.
This is to D.C.?
To D.C. and New York.
Okay.
So it's a 5-day trip that we start off in D.C. We go by charter bus, and we always travel overnight too. I found that that's a lot better. We leave about 9 o'clock the night before. It's like on April 3rd we'll leave. Well, it's better for some people. Brittany hated the bus trip, but that's okay. She took her Dramamine and slept the whole time. But we leave. We travel overnight, so by 8 o'clock we're there in D.C. and we're ready to go. That first day is rough because we don't get to go to the hotel till about 10 o'clock that night. But so we spend about 2.5 days in D.C., and then we do the 4-hour bus ride to New York City and spend the rest of the time there. So, and we do pretty much anything and everything. Although this year I'm getting a little nervous. There's still, D.C.'s still closed down to tours. The Capitol building's still closed. So they think by April they'll be open, but I'm getting nervous. I got word back from all of our Senator Young, Senator Braun. They both got back to me and said they can't schedule tours yet. So, so I'm a little nervous about that.
So let me back up. And do you need additional money at this point, or are you?
No, we're good. Like I said, I have every student that has come and wanted to go is going.
Okay.
So I've been like that every year since we started it. If a kid comes and wants to go, I find a way for him to go, and we've been able to do that. So that's the whole reason I started it in the first place at Southside when I was there, is that I wanted kids who have never been anywhere to enjoy it. And that first year I did, I had kids who had never been out of the state, and it was so awesome to see them, that experience for them. So,
okay. So, dates again, real quick.
April 4th through the 8th. Okay. We'll leave late on the 3rd at like 9 o'clock. Then we'll get back really early in the morning on the 9th. So, and I just wanted to see if I was here tonight to see if anyone had any questions. And I definitely wanted to tell you about the donations, and I'll give this to, I don't even know who gets these. Okay, Sophia. So I'll make sure you know, and that I've already had the kids sign cards and sent them to the donors. But I mean, we had people donate $500. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Former students, former colleagues. It's been cool.
Okay.
So,
any questions for me?
I just have a quick comment because I had the chance to chaperone this trip when I taught at Southside. And although I wasn't a student, you took me to these places for the first time. So as an adult, I've chaperoned, but I had never been to D.C. and New York. So I kind of got to see it through the lens of the studency as first timer. And the trip is amazing. So I love how big this group is. This is awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be really good.
So I'm excited.
And it's a really good group of kids, too. like I said, kids. I try to get kids who either I knew hadn't traveled or kids who, like, wouldn't normally do things like that. And I approached him and said, have you thought about the senior trip? Well, no, I don't think I could afford it. I'm like, come on, let me tell you about it.
Well, thank you for your willingness to undertake this. And let us know, shoot me an email or something if you need something you, as you think about it downstream, that you'd like to do.
Yep, great. So, in May, I would love to come back and bring a few of those kids, if you guys don't mind, so they can talk about it. I think they would like that. So
when you're in the Capitol, what all museums do you try to hit?
Well, we kind of drive them around and explain each Smithsonian to them, and then we drop them off. Like, we'll say, okay, who wants to go to the American History? And we'll drop a load off. Then we'll go down to the Air and Space. So we kind of give them about 3 hours there on the National Mall to hit however many they can get to in that time. They seem to like the Air and Space, the American History, and the Natural History the best. So Brittany and I spent time in the Art Museum. We liked that one the best, I think. But yeah, they enjoy that part. They love the Holocaust Museum. That's one every year. They're so grateful that we take them to that. And the archives. The archives is popular, too.
Right.
So, okay. All right. Any questions?
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Also want to thank a number of individuals who are represented on the donor list to the pantry. We continue to have such good support of that wonderful organization. And we also had a nice donation to Northview Elementary from Asian Kitchen. So thank you to all of our donors. And with that, are there any additional questions concerning the consent agenda? Would entertain then a motion to approve the items in the consent agenda. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Show that passed. Mr. Drome, the financial reports, please.
Yes, thank you. Included in your board packet is the January results. That just represents 1 month, January of 2022. Obviously, 11 months to go in the calendar year, so just started. It's just basically a one month look. We're still receiving our state basic grant for the month, still estimating to receive just a little bit under $42 million of state basic grant. Revenue, payroll is nearly exactly as it was a year ago, even though the headcount is up slightly. It's up 7 compared to a year ago. Cash balance for the end of the month, very strong, a little over $35 million. We continue to pay back our state loan at $50,000 a month. That's per the original agreement. Still expect to be in a surplus position at the end of this calendar year. And with each month that goes by, we'll have more actual data to put on top of it. So right now, everything is just going according to plan. The pressure will be on Operation Fund. That's the one we're going to spend a little over $12.6 million, and that represents about $400,000 reduction from the year before. So Operation Fund takes the hit of the tax caps. So that's where I have my work cut out for me this particular year. But we'll keep watching that each month and trying to be very conservative.
Any questions for Mr. Durham? Please let us know if there's anything on the horizon with the Operation Fund that we need to be taking mitigating steps.
May I just say, for people who are watching, usually in the spring is when we pull together the Compensation Committee. And so in April, we hope to be able to make some recommendations for raises for next year for our teachers.
For faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Since we mentioned Compensation Committee, Facilities Committee.
Next month, probably.
Next month, yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any additional questions concerning the financial report? Entertain a motion to approve.
So move.
Second. Been moved and seconded. All in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Permission to advertise for food service project over $50,000.
Yes, thank you. Also included in your board packet is permission to advertise for bids for various items for Muncie Central High School for an improvement project for food service equipment, tables, flooring, just really a total revamping of the cafeteria area. We're doing this in conjunction with the Indiana Department of Ed, Child Nutrition, as they work together with us on their guidelines as they consider us overfunded by $2 million in the food service fund. And that's a real thing. You can have too much money in your funds. So we're working to spend some of that down in a organized fashion, and you put it back towards your food service area. So it's a nice thing to have. So anything that would be over $50,000, that's why I have to get permission. So that's why I'm asking permission for that project tonight.
Any questions regarding?
Well, we're going to do them all. We've started out with some items at Northside on some older equipment at Northside. Muncie Central High School was next, but we'll be making our rounds. So all of them have room for improvement, but it's a good problem to have the funds. So,
and I assume your volumes at Central are much greater than.
Have a lot of volumes, and I hope when we can get some good graphics, I can bring them and show you some of the ideas that the architects for the food service folks have put together, with some ideas of not just straight rectangular tables in one big giant room. Instead, you have multi-use short tables, round tables, cafe looking. It's just a new way of doing it. It's a new opportunity to get a new floor. And just really make that refreshed. And Chris Walker and some of the folks have been helping us with that too. So anyway, so it's a pretty exciting project.
You need a motion?
Yes.
So be it.
Have a motion. Do you hear a second? Second. All those in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. Food service vendor renewal.
Yeah, this is the kind of the small renewal. We did the extensive five-year renewal and had to take bids for different vendors 2 years ago. What we're doing now is just the intent to renew with Chartwells for the next year, and this just continues that process to renew with them for this next year. I have to follow all these guidelines with the Indiana Department of Ed, and this just allows me to continue that process.
Okay.
So just seeking permission to... intent to renew the contract with Chartwells.
Okay. Any questions regarding the renewal with Chartwells?
It's a 1 year rollover, sure.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Would entertain a motion?
Menu plan.
Do you know what I would say with that is? With COVID, they had to restrict the number of offerings. I hope now that maybe we can offer more and they can open up more lines. I also know they're struggling with some of the with shipping and some shortages, but we're not the only food service who's experiencing that.
Well, I know that Jennifer has managed to find, my wife is Jennifer, by the way, managed to find Brussels sprouts, so. I'm sure the kids would love a plate full of Brussels sprouts.
And lots of bacon.
That's how you cook them.
So, before we lose further control.
Do you need a motion to approve? Or did we?
Yes, please.
Okay, motion to approve.
I hear Jim second. All those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, aye. Same sign. Dr. Reynolds, are you on the curriculum handbook?
Yes. Okay. Yep. I just had a few classes to add. They are just a couple of updated languages, and then also some one-off CTE pathway offerings at the high school. Not necessarily, like I mentioned before, not necessarily that they'll all be offered or they will all go, but that will be based on enrollment. But we did have some additions that we wanted to add to the handbook in preparation for next school year.
Okay. You all have your packets. Any questions for Dr. Reynolds? Appreciate you keeping track of that. Mm-hmm. I would entertain a motion to approve those changes.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Show that passed. We're on to dialogue of the board and future recommendations. I would, echo, Mr. Hyatt had talked about the council and mayor office with their appointments coming up. Brittany is the mayor's appointment, and Watasha's council's appointment. They have both been outstanding board members, and I think both have expressed their desire to continue. So just for the record, they've been amazing contributors and continue to be amazing contributors to Muncie Community Schools. So thank you both. We are at a point where we're beginning to receive, obviously, the physicians, the health folks are talking about opening up some. And I was serious when I asked Mr. Arnold and Mr. Hyatt and Ms. Duke about volunteers. I spoke last week at First Presbyterian Church on Thursday about MCS, and First Presbyterian has a longstanding partnership with Southview Elementary. And one of the pillars of our plan, which has been most impacted negatively by the pandemic, has been family and community engagement. Mm-hmm. And our schools all would benefit from extra hands, mm-hmm. from responsible adults and volunteers who have a heart for children and a heart for learning. As I've said before in this room, this nation, given where our economy is in terms of undergoing rapid technological change in ways that have never been seen in the history of the world, we are at an inflection point educationally. Our children will have to be in a position to learn and adapt and change in ways that many of those who've come before us never had to endure. And it's going to cause disruptions. And the only way that our kids will be able to make their way in this world as adults is to be able to read critically and effectively, to do math critically and effectively, to problem solve, to be adaptable. And that's something that the schools are not going to be able to do alone. They are going to need help and assistance from the broader community and partnerships and otherwise, and we are very blessed by many of our partners, but we can always use more. So this is for the benefit of those out there tonight who may be thinking about things that they could do on a spare day or two a week as we work on enhancing reading skills of our elementary students, math skills of our elementary students, math and technical skills of our middle school students and high school students, and reading skills. Those are all going to be important things that we reach out to the broader community to ask for help and to continue to seek engagement from families, parents, and our citizens. So please keep us in mind as you're looking for a way to spend your volunteer time, because we will welcome it. With that, I want to talk briefly about Southview Elementary. I was hearing from a parent who did not know who I was, probably because of the mask, and was telling me all about this person, this teacher at Southview, who had done such good work with this person's child. And so I want to shout out to Mr. Cope, Justin Cope, mm-hmm. is that right? Mm-hmm. C-O-P-E, who is, I think, a special education teacher at Southview. Thank you for everything that you're doing. It's being recognized in the broader community. With that, anything further from the board?
Just a quick question. Can you expand on the state going from the ISTEP to the SAT for juniors?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So several years ago, when the new ESSA requirements, when the federal government went from No Child Left Behind to ESSA, mm-hmm. the state put a proposal in. There's a requirement that at the high school level, students at one particular grade have to be tested. So in Indiana, they used to give the ISTEP 10 in English and math, and then they also, for state testing, gave biology as well. Well, universities were saying nobody looked at ISTEP results at all. Mm-hmm. And so several years ago, the decision was made to move to a test that might be recognized more, and so that was the SAT test. So now all juniors have to sit for the SAT test. The cost is picked up by the state. It's the way that the accountability, one of the accountability measures at the high school. And what's so ironic with that is many of the universities now are moving away from test results, or they're just optional. So Indiana has a test that they thought would be, you know, recognized at the university level, and that isn't quite the case in many universities now. But it still is a required next week. Is it 2 weeks? March 6th, is that the date?
Next
March 2nd is the day that we will have our juniors attend school. We are required to test 95% of our juniors, or the school will have a penalty. And our freshmen, sophomore, and seniors will be doing an e-learning because of the College Board requirements, with 3.5 hours of uninterrupted testing of proctors and seating arrangements and such.
What do you do with the students? You don't need that 95.
So there is one week in April that will be some makeup. And, you know, I asked Chuck today if we can look at, you know, we have morning session. Maybe we could find something in the afternoon and try to get some kids, make phone calls. Our high school will have to be all hands on deck trying to encourage students. You know, if they don't love testing and you have to come in for a day of testing, well, that'll be a challenge to get everybody there. But what states that have required SAT or ACT have found higher percentage of students that go on to higher ed, than because some students may do better than they suspected and decide that might be for them.
And I should add, even though it's test optional, they still evaluate the SAT scores if you want those evaluated mm-hmm. for your consideration for mm-hmm. being accepted. So mm-hmm. it's still valuable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what time does the test start?
It's eight in the morning.
So then you're done at 11:30?
Mm-hmm.
I think they bump the test a little later to train the next kids.
Then there's an hour of like pre-stuff they have to do. So it really won't start until about 9:00.
So what are we looking at, 300 kids?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we do pizza for them at noon to incentivize?
That sounds great.
Yeah. I may come and take the SAT again.
Come and take the SAT and have pizza.
I took it 3 or 4 times. And do it again. Yeah.
Nobody gave you pizza, though, did
they? Didn't give me pizza.
I mean, why don't we do something at the tail end of that to incentivize you to be there that day?
Maybe during their snack, they can eat a quick piece of pizza and get energized.
That's a good idea.
And then are we going to keep them all day? Or
We'll have them have lunch, and then they'll go home earlier when they're finished with their lunch.
Okay.
Quick question. Is there a cutoff of what's acceptable scoring on that, like there was with ISTEP?
Well,
is this going
yes,
to be used as a measure?
It is going to be used as a measure. So the College Board has a score that they believe is college and career ready. Okay. But the state of Indiana, because we're using this for our accountability purposes, this summer the state will gather educators and parents and determine what that cut score is going to be. So anytime you have a new assessment, they use some of the data for how people are performing when those cut scores are set.
Okay. So ISTEP and all of its offshoots are dead.
Yes. As seniors, seniors can still have opportunities to retake it.
Okay.
Because that's one method for being able to graduate.
Okay.
We also can use graduation pathways now, which most of our students fall into that option.
Okay. Any additional questions?
Go ahead,
because
it's not
necessarily. So I just wanted to know really quickly, so the EWA project, how is that? I mean, I know you're going to do a facility. Where are we at with that?
Right now it's progressing on schedule. Still expecting to be done August 8, 2022. Core Construction, who's our construction manager on site, as our constructor. They do, we do, every 2 weeks we do a meeting with them, and of course they're on site every day. We're doing almost daily meetings with the principal. So far it's progressing well. They've had their moments like anything else, weather permitting, but they're all inside. So right now, still progressing on time.
I think Sarah posted today that it's ahead of schedule, even, which is awesome.
And they are the same, Core Construction is the same same construction manager who will be working with us for Southview. So they're immediately, we're also pivoting to start doing the planning and design for all those logistical issues for that, because that'll start also this summer, but Southview will take a little bit longer in the timeline, and that's how they figured it to be. So,
I have a quick proposal, if you will. Don't worry, Brad, it doesn't cost any money. It also won't take any time, but in thinking about what Gary just talked about, how this has been such a difficult year for teachers, and I know that we're always trying to look for ways to ease that burden and recognize our teachers, so I wanted to throw an idea out there, and maybe this is something for the leadership cabinet to take to the next principal's meeting, I don't know, to maybe let our faculty and staff wear jeans every Friday just to be comfortable. They're more relatable to kids. It's very easy. It doesn't take any money or time. So I just want to throw that out there as a way to just show our appreciation, let them be comfortable, kind of a fun Friday for everybody. So maybe give that some thought and see, maybe take it to the leadership meeting and see. But I think that would be a really easy way to recognize our staff.
I think a lot of our principals use those type of incentives to fire people up at different times. Yeah. So sure,
I'm throwing it out there like every Friday for the rest of the school year.
Brittany, I think some of them may be doing that.
Okay. Anything further? Andy, any media inquiries? Any media here? Okay. Thank you, everybody. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, signify by aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Everybody have a nice evening. Thank you.